Now, we are going to open our Bibles this morning, and I'm putting a title on this message as I always do. We're calling this message today, Are You a Sheep? Are You a Sheep? And we're going to be opening to John chapter 10 to begin with in just a moment. But before we do that, we need to pray one more time. So let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning. Thank Thee for Thy goodness. Thank Thee, Lord, for all that Thou hast done. We are so blessed to be in Thy presence, and we are so blessed to have this precious Word. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would lead us through Thy Word here this day. Inspire us, O God, to draw near to Thee, to draw close to Thee, to be obedient to the prompting of Thy Spirit. And let Thy Holy Ghost be upon all Thy people, those who are here, those who are listening online, those who will hear this message later. We ask, Lord, for Thy blessing to be upon all Thy people. Give us the Spirit of discernment and understanding. Help us, O God, to understand and comprehend Thy Word, for we need Thee so very much. We can do nothing without Thee, but we know, O God, that Thou art the one who enables us to understand and comprehend Thy Word. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well, O God, that Thou art sovereign and that there is none greater than Thee, and there is no name greater than that mighty name of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that Thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start in John chapter 10 to begin with this morning. And, you know, there's something I hear people say quite frequently. I've heard people say this so many times, and you probably have too. They'll defiantly say, I am not a sheep. Well, I'm here to tell you today that you need to be a sheep. And it's interesting, too. I've been doing a little reading on sheep, and there's a lot of misconceptions about sheep. People often regard sheep as being animals that aren't terribly intelligent. But actually, as it turns out, they're highly intelligent animals. They have a lot of special characteristics. And reading the Bible, when you consider how often he talks about sheep, and how often shepherds are mentioned, I just have a feeling that sheep might be God's favorite animal. And there are other reasons for that too, but sheep have some amazing qualities. In fact, sheep, according to this, I found this online, it says sheep have very good memories. They can remember at least 50 individual sheep and humans for years. They do this by using a similar neural process and part of the brain that humans use to remember. Sheep have been shown to display emotions, some of which can be studied by observing the positions of their ears. Contrary to popular belief, sheep are extremely intelligent animals capable of problem solving. They are considered to have a similar IQ level to cattle and are nearly as clever as pigs. And a lot of people don't know that either, that pigs are actually very intelligent animals. They're filthy, but they're smart. Like various other species, including humans, sheep make different vocalizations to communicate different emotions. They also display and recognize emotion by facial expression. And this is really amazing, too. Sheep are known to self-medicate. When they have some illnesses, they will eat specific plants when ill that can cure them. And of course, they learn all of these things because God put these instincts within them. But another wonderful quality about sheep is that they hate darkness and they always move to the light if they can. And that's an example that we are supposed to follow. That's something that we should do as well. Always move to the light and out of darkness. And we see in Scripture time and time again that God's people are likened to sheep. Oh yes, God loves sheep. You can read that in the Old Testament. For example, Ezekiel chapter 34 is all about sheep and shepherds Particularly, well, it starts out talking about how the shepherds of Israel failed to lead the people of Israel properly, and then God declared that he would do it himself, that he would be the shepherd, that he would lead the people. And at the end of that chapter, it comes right out and tells us that the sheep are men and women and children, if they belong to the Lord. Yes, we have a shepherd because we are supposed to be sheep. And John chapter 10 is going to point that out to us as we begin this chapter, that yes, we have a shepherd, and we need to be sheep. Another very important quality of sheep, of course, is the fact that they trust. They trust their shepherd. And of course, they know their shepherd's voice. They won't follow just anyone. But once they come to know their shepherd and they trust their shepherd, they'll follow that shepherd anywhere that shepherd leads them. And of course, we know that being a shepherd is a very important job. And you cannot be an effective shepherd unless you love the sheep. And you can read about numerous shepherds in the Bible. In fact, the very first shepherd mentioned in the Bible is Abel in the book of Genesis. And of course, Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. The sons of Jacob were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. And of course, David, the most famous shepherd of all, aside from the Lord Jesus. And of course, we know that he loved those little sheep so much. In fact, we know the story. At one point, the sheep were attacked by a lion. And in another case, they were attacked by a bear, and he took on the bear, he took on the lion, and defeated both of those voracious animals. You have to think that most shepherds probably wouldn't have bothered. Because, after all, it's a lion. Who wants to take on a lion? But David did so, because he loved those sheep so very much. It's also interesting, too, that he was a shepherd by trade. And as you might recall, when David sinned with Bathsheba, had an adulterous affair with her, and took her to be his wife, and ultimately had her husband killed, Uriah, it's interesting to note that God sent his prophet Nathan to David to tell him that little story, to use an analogy. And what was that story about? It was about a little ewe lamb that was loved so much by his owner. It wasn't just an animal. It wasn't livestock. It was like a member of the family. And we know the story how that little ewe lamb was taken. And I believe the reason God had Nathan use that story when he went to David was because David was a shepherd. And that story was going to hit him particularly hard. It was going to hit him right in the feels. Because he loved sheep so very much. And that made him realize the sin that he had committed. But you see stories of shepherds all throughout the Bible. And we see that God's people are likened to sheep. Of course, one thing about sheep is that they do have a tendency to stray. They do have a tendency to wander off, which is why being a shepherd is also a difficult job, because those sheep can stray. So it's very important for the shepherd to watch over the sheep. Thankfully, we have a good shepherd. John chapter 10, let's begin with verse 1, which tells us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Of course, we know that sheep do have a lot of wonderful qualities. They have wonderful eyesight, amazing hearing. But they're very vulnerable. They're vulnerable to the prey, which is why it is so important that we have a good shepherd. Verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." And that's very true about sheep. As I just read from that little fact sheet, yes, they know the voice of their shepherds. They remember people. They remember people's faces. They remember the faces of other sheep. Up to 50 of them has been found. Yes, they know the shepherd's voice, and we need to be like sheep, heeding the voice of our shepherd. And we need to learn to distinguish between the voice of our good shepherd, our great shepherd, and then the voice of all those false shepherds that are out there. And we need to make sure that we do not heed those voices. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. I'll tell you what, Donald Trump is not my shepherd. The Pope is not my shepherd. Anthony Fauci is not my shepherd. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. And He is the one that we must listen to. He is the voice that we must heed. And there are a lot of voices out there, but make sure that you are tuned to your shepherd. And if you are a sheep, if you're one of His sheep, you will be. Verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Praise the Lord. Oh yes, I want to be in the Lord's sheepfold. I want to be able to dwell there safely, peacefully, with the shepherd watching over me. That's something that we should all desire. Verse 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they have and that they might have it more abundantly." The Lord Jesus doesn't just give us life. He gives us life more abundantly. More abundantly. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Like I said, in order to be an effective shepherd, the shepherd must love the sheep. And there is no one who loves you as much as the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. In fact, He gave His life for the sheep. Verse 12, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." Oh yes, we know that there are forces at work that want to catch the sheep and destroy the sheep. A wolf on the hunt, so to speak, or a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But you know what? That roaring lion, the devil, cannot get to the sheep as long as the shepherd is there. Verse 13, "The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." You see, that's how you can distinguish a real shepherd, a true shepherd. The shepherd doesn't leave when the going gets tough. David didn't run away when there was a lion or a bear. He took him on. And that's what a good shepherd will do. He will take on the enemy. And that is what Jesus Christ does for us. He will take on the enemy. Verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine, As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Of course, we know that what Jesus Christ did for us, He did voluntarily. He gave His life for us. His life was not taken, it was given. And there is a huge difference. Verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Praise God, I love this verse so much, and you should too, because that verse is talking about us. There were other sheep that would come in the future. He's talking about us in this verse. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, but yet He gathers all of His people together into one fold. Oh yes, we need to be sheep. I know sometimes people say, I'm not a sheep. Well, you need to be a sheep, because the Lord Jesus is gathering His sheep together. He wants a people who will fully and completely trust Him as sheep trust their shepherd. He wants a people who will follow where He leads them, wherever He leads them to. But He is gathering His people together. That is a work that He started on the cross of Calvary, gathering all of His flock. He reached into the past, reaching back for all those who ever looked for the Messiah to come. He was there in the present for those who believed on Him. And He also reached into the future for you and for me. And we are all gathered together at that cross of Calvary. Gathered together in one fold. Which, by the way, shows beyond any shadow of a doubt that there aren't two separate folds. People like to do that, to say, well, okay, there's the Christian people and then there's the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are special, and they have special privileges and so forth and so on. No, there's one fold. Only the Christian people. One fold. And if you're Jewish, you have to come to the Lord Jesus just like everyone else. There's one fold. The Bible is very clear on that. Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again." Of course, Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. In fact, He did it voluntarily, like I said. He laid it down. His life was given. But He wasn't going to stay dead. He said, "I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Well, not everyone hearing His words that day were sheep. His sheep know His voice. In fact, He's going to tell them that very thing. Verse 21, "Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Of course, there was always a lot of discussion, a lot of argument, a lot of debate among the Jewish people about who Jesus was. Some thought He was a prophet, a mighty man, a miracle worker. But some had the insight to realize that this was the Messiah that they had been looking for, that they had been waiting for. Verse 22, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep,
as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, yes, you need to be a sheep. It's a necessity. If you are a sheep, if you belong to the Good Shepherd, then you have that precious gift of eternal life, and you will never perish. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, isn't that wonderful to know that no one can pluck you out of the hands of God? The only way you're going to leave that fold is if you wander off on your own. And human beings like sheep have a tendency to do that. But, thankfully, we can always come back to our Lord. We can return to Him. In fact, you can read that in the Scripture, the invitation, return unto me. And we all have that opportunity, even if we do stray. But I hope that none of us ever do. I tell you what, if you are a sheep and you belong to the Lord and you are doing the wrong things in life, you're going to be miserable the entire time. Because if you're a sheep of the Lord, sin is never going to make you happy. It's never going to make you feel fulfilled. And when you're doing the wrong thing, that's going to gnaw at you. It's going to bother your conscience, and you're going to realize, I need to get back to my shepherd. Thankfully, we serve a shepherd who loves us so much that he went looking for us to gather his people together. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. You know, if you read the Word of God, there's one thing that is definitely going to become crystal clear, and that is that God is not looking for people who are proud and boastful. He likens us to sheep, tells us we need to be sheep, and then in this chapter, we're also told about little children, and we need to be like children too. Yes. Children, I guess, in some ways are like sheep because they will heed the voice of their parents and just trust them and have faith that what their parents are saying is true. And we need to look to God and just believe what He tells us. Believe that what He is saying is true, because we know that it is impossible for God to lie. And we can take great joy in that fact. But Jesus loves children just as He loves sheep. Matthew chapter 18 tells us in verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we should trust the Lord completely. Just as children trust their parents and sheep trust their shepherd, put your complete faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. People might wonder, well, how does the Lord feel about abortion? How does God feel about abortion? I'll tell you, He hates it. He absolutely hates it. And it's really something, too, throughout this whole pandemic. You had a lot of businesses shut down all over the country But you had these states say, well, you got to keep the abortion clinics open because that's essential. Oh, there's nothing more non-essential. In fact, every single one of those institutions of murder needs to be fully shut down. Oh, Jesus tells us how he feels about it. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And what greater offense could there be than snuffing out the life of a little one before he even has a chance to live? Verse 7, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Now, hopefully, none of us have to start removing body parts to keep from sinning. I don't believe that's what the Lord wants from us. But what he's really telling us here is that we need to remove any hindrances from our life that keep us from following the Lord. Verse 9, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Just do whatever it takes to get there, because it will be worth it in the end. It will be worth everything. Verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Every little child, including the children in the womb, have an angel assigned to them. Verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And that's why he came for us, the lost sheep. And we know that first he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he also came for those other sheep to make one fold. Verse 12, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Yes, there was a time when the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, went looking for you and looking for me. And he called to us. And we heard his voice because his sheep hear his voice. Verse 13, and if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. It's also not his will for the sheep to perish. And if we stay within the realm of our shepherd, we will not perish. Oh, sure, they can take your life in this physical world, but they cannot snatch eternal life away from you. And that's the most important thing. Let's look also at Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, and we're going to begin with verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. You know, that's a good thing. The publicans and the sinners needed to hear Jesus. And some of them were even sheep. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, it shouldn't be a surprise that sinners came to hear the Lord Jesus. He came to gather his lost sheep, the sinners. Therefore, it shouldn't be entirely a surprise if sinners come into the church looking for the Lord and responding to that call of the shepherd. In fact, that should happen. You know, sometimes people will look down on others so much and say, oh, I don't want that person around. That person is evil. That person is a sinner. We don't want them in our company. Well, obviously, it's one thing if people are just defiant and don't have ears to hear, but if someone is truly seeking the Lord, despite their past mistakes, they need to be given that privilege. They need the Lord just as much as we need the Lord. Yes, he's seeking the lost sheep. Verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know, every time someone comes to the Lord in repentance and is buried in baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, the angels in heaven rejoice over that. That must be something to hear. And thankfully, when we do get to heaven, we will be able to rejoice with the angels in the presence of our great shepherd. In fact, when we get to heaven, we will have an everlasting Thanksgiving celebration. It talks about that in the book of Revelation. And that is going to be such a wonderful thing. But thankfully we have that good shepherd who came looking for his lost sheep. Are you a sheep? I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25 now. Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to begin with verse 32. Actually, let's begin with verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31 tells us, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. There are two kinds of people in this world. Sheep and goats. Wheat and tares. Of course, we just talked about the wheat and the tares, didn't we? But there is going to be a great separation at the end. The wicked will be severed from the just. And here we see the sheep will be divided from the goats. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, there is a kingdom in heaven prepared for God's flock, but only sheep will be there. It is that everlasting sheepfold. Verse 35, for I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, when you do these sorts of things for other people, it's as if you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We do all things heartily unto the Lord. And we know that the Lord Jesus told us to bring forth good fruit. Verse 41, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Of course, that's interesting too. Hell's original purpose was for the devil and his angels. Yes, wicked spirits are fallen angels. And we know that the devil, Lucifer, as he had been known, used to be an angel as well. But he fell from grace because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to overthrow the Lord, which of course is foolishness and impossible. But God made a place for the devil and his angels. Unfortunately, people go there sometimes too. And the reason they end up in that horrible place is because they follow the devil and his angels. You see, that is why we need to follow the shepherd. Because he'll lead you the right way. He'll lead you the right way. Don't follow a hireling. Don't follow a hireling that's going to lead you down the broad way to destruction. But stay on the path with your eyes always on the shepherd, following the Savior. And if you do that, you don't have to go to this horrible place prepared for the devil and his angels. I tell you what, I do not want to spend eternity in a wretched place with the devil and his angels. And no one should want that. But the most horrible thing about that place is that it is eternal separation from God. God is not there. And you will be apart from the Lord forever if you end up in this horrible place. None of us want that. So keep following the shepherd. Verse 42, For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Yes, the sheep will be separated from the goats. And I tell you, you definitely, definitely want to be a sheep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look now at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and this is a psalm of praise, an exhortation to thanksgiving. Psalm 100, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Yes, we know that he is our maker. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't speak ourselves into existence. We didn't just decide that we wanted to exist. But God spoke us into existence. He created us. God created this entire universe. And that's a reason to rejoice. And another reason to rejoice is that we have God leading us as our shepherd. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord. Yes, our shepherd has everlasting mercy for His people. And His truth will always endure. His truth will outlast this entire planet. Did you know that? Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words of the Lord will never pass away. We know that to be true. But He leads us as a shepherd. And that is a reason to rejoice. That is a reason to have a joyful noise unto the Lord. And because we know that He is our shepherd, we can serve the Lord with gladness. We can come before His presence with singing. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21 tell us, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Yes, He is our great shepherd. As such, all of us need to be sheep. And of course, we know that until that time when the Lord returns, we know that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd, but He also has other shepherds that He has put into place to serve Him and to feed the flock. In fact, the word pastor actually means shepherd. Let's look at John chapter 21 in closing. John chapter 21. Now let's get a running start at this and just start with verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed He Himself. Of course, we know that at this point the victory had been won for us. He had gone to that cross. He died on that cross, but He rose again from the grave. And we know that He appeared unto His disciples. Their shepherd appeared unto them. Verse 2 tells us there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, "I go a-fishing." They say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. It's interesting, too, because Peter was a fisherman by trade, but he wasn't very good at it. Seems like he was always struggling to catch a fish. And here they fished all night long and didn't catch anything. Verse 4 tells us, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, 'Children, have ye any meat?' They answered Him, 'No.'" They fished all night, didn't have anything. But that was okay, because we know that our shepherd is a great provider. Verse 6, "And He said unto them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find.' They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Jesus knew exactly where those fish were. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and that's John, by the way, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And I don't believe that meant he was totally and completely naked, but probably just wearing his undergarments. Verse 8, And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dray in the net with fishes. What were they so excited about? They had heard the voice of their shepherd calling to them. And we should react with that same excitement when we hear the voice of our shepherd calling to us. Verse 9, As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. 153 fishes. That's a lot of fish. Verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Yes, they knew the voice of their shepherd. They knew it was the Lord. They didn't have to ask, Who are you? They knew. Verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And now we're going to see that Jesus is about to appoint another shepherd. Not the great shepherd, of course. We know that Jesus is the great shepherd, but he put a plan in place so that there would always be shepherds. Verse 15, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. It's interesting, too, because at the very first, he says, Feed my lambs. And of course, lambs, being baby sheep, are the most vulnerable of all the sheep. They need the most care. Verse 16 tells us, He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Why did Jesus say this three times to Peter? Well, Peter knew exactly why Jesus had done this. Because he had denied the Lord three times. Amen. And this was a reminder for Peter of what he had done, but it was also a reminder that his sins were forgiven. The fact that he had denied the Lord three times was forgiven, and that he was going to serve a great and mighty purpose. Of course, we know that he was given the keys to the kingdom. He preached to the Jewish people, and then he preached to the Gentiles, and he would open the door for God's Spirit to be poured about on all flesh. You see, that's why he had to go to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, because he had the keys to the kingdom. But he was also a shepherd. Obviously not the great shepherd, but here we see he's being appointed by the Lord Jesus. Feed my sheep. Verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying but what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Yes, let's follow our Savior. Of course, we know that God will always have shepherds to help lead the flock. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that we've been here for so many years now in this church. And I was thinking about it yesterday. And yesterday was May 23rd. That was exactly 10 years. After Dad preached his final message here. But thank God we're still here, and the flock of God is still here, and his sheep are still gathered together in his place. And I know that Dad would be so thrilled about all of that, so praise the Lord. His work has continued. You know what's really amazing too? This Word of God talks so much about sheep. And I truly believe that God loves the sheep. I really think, it doesn't say that in Scripture, but I do think that sheep are probably God's favorite animal because he likens people to sheep. His chosen people are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. But what else is really amazing is that God put on flesh and came to this earth in the form of a man. And made himself vulnerable. He made that flesh vulnerable. As vulnerable as the most vulnerable of all sheep, as a lamb. In fact, John the Baptist saw him coming down the road one day and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So not only is he our shepherd, but he lowered himself so much, made himself so vulnerable, gave his life for us, even as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But you know what? That Lamb of God is victorious. And that Lamb of God is mentioned, I believe, 26 times in the book of Revelation. So even though he made himself vulnerable to save us, we know that our Savior, the Shepherd, who is also the Lamb, is completely 100% victorious. So, are you a sheep? I hope so. We all need to be sheep. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy guidance, for thy direction. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art there to lead us, to direct our steps, that thou art there to call to us even if we wander off. We know, Lord, that we must follow thee, for thou art our great shepherd. Thou art the one who has the words of eternal life. Thou art the one who leads us to eternal life. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead all thy people. We pray, Lord, that thou would direct our steps and that thou would help us, O God, to truly follow thee for the entirety of our lives. Help us to be faithful to thee until we leave this earth. We ask, Lord, that thou would lead thy sheep, direct our steps in all things. Help us, O God. Strengthen us in the days ahead, for we know that we need thy help so very much in these uncertain times. We know, O God, that we find strength and stability in thee as long as thou art there watching over us. We ask for thy protecting hand to be upon all of thy sheep. Watch over thy people, we pray, and lead us along, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to sing a song in closing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
We're going to turn to number 253 in the hymnal and sing His Yoke is Easy.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me. The quiet waters by. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night. Where living waters flow, my soul crieth, Lord, restore me again, and give me the strength to take the narrow path of righteousness. For thine only sake, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night, where living waters flow. Though I should walk the valley of death, yet what should I fear? For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff support me still. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so. He leads me by day and by night, where the living waters flow. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so. He leads me by day and by night, where living waters flow. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, and you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.